Hey, greetings everybody, this is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day. I'm having an awesome day in God's Word, studying, doing some teaching, answering some emails. I want to get back to my Matthew verse-by-verse study. We are in Matthew 21, and we are going to go verses 28 to 37. I'm really enjoying doing these verse by verses. You can go to don'tperish.com, go to the verse by verse tab to catch up. Let's get started. Matthew 21, starting with verse 28. But what ye think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. All right, so Jesus is starting us off on a parable, and it's about a father calling sons to work. That's interesting. I think this can represent both Jesus being called to do the Father's will, right? John 5, they answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I can of my own self do nothing. I hear, I judge, my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father which sent me. All right, so this parable can be talking about Jesus' will, and it also could be about us called to do God and Christ's will. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I like that. I like that a lot. It also could be loosely referencing and showing the Jews versus the Gentiles. Remember, the two that he makes one. So there's got a lot of correlations going on in this parable. Verse 29, and he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and he went. And verse 30, and he came to the second and said likewise. And he answers and said, I go, sir. And he went not. All right, so again, tale of two sons. One refuses, but repents and then does go. The other one says yes, but then doesn't do what he says. All right, so I think this is a lot like Israel and the Gentiles. God called Israel to obey him. And then the Gentiles, when Israel rebelled, the Gentiles were invited in. I think we can see some correlation here. Romans 11 talks about that. You could read it. Verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of his father? So Jesus asks the Pharisees, he's asking them a simple question that should be a really simple answer. But like them always trying to trap him, he basically is going to show them their sin and their hypocrisy via this question. Ready? Jesus is good at this. You don't want to try to outsmart God. He knows the heart. He knows every intent, thought of the mind. They say unto him, the first. All right, so they answer it right. They get it right, right? The son that first said no, but then he went. And the other son said yes, but he never went. So the guy that repented and went, right? That's who got it right. That's who was doing right. But just because the Pharisees answered this question right, it doesn't mean anything, because a rebuke is still coming. Why? Well, they're a lot like the second son, because they say yes to God, but they do not do as they should. You hear that? They say yes, but they don't do what they should. They're hypocrites, right? And we're going to find out what Jesus says about them as hypocrites. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow, what a rebuke to these religious Pharisees that were keeping the moral law in every way they could, but they're full of uncleanliness. He warns and rebukes them, even though their answer is correct, and they're full of hypocrisy by their own actions. You know what this shows us? Got to be careful. We can be in the truth about hard doctrine and matters, but we can be wrong in our heart. Yeah, we all know that, right? So we can be absolutely right in doctrine. Here you go. I could teach doctrine and have it absolutely right, but if I hate my brother, I'm in sin. That doctrine means nothing if my heart isn't right. The doctrine should be an extension of a new created, pure, holy heart, not just something that's on the outside covering up a wicked heart. This also reminds me of King David. in 2 Samuel 12. Do you remember this? When Nathan goes to talk to King David and tells him a story about a guy with a little sheep and another guy with a whole bunch of sheep, and he kills the guy's one sheep. David's livid and says, "That man should die." And Nathan says, "You're that guy." Yeah, see, David was like the Pharisees. He knew what was right. He got the answer right, but he didn't even see his own sin. Nathan had to show him his sin. Jesus is showing the Pharisees their sin. We should test and study and judge and examine ourselves and our houses and our own brethren really hard so we can see our own sin so no one else has to. Amen? Go read that, 2 Samuel 12. And the Pharisees, again, had the right answer, but all along they denied John, they denied Jesus, they clung to their own false narrative, man-made traditions, prideful leadership, control, arrogance. And then Jesus explains in the next verse here why they get rebuked. Ready? Verse 32. "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. And the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Yeah. Remember Jesus often talked about eyes to see, ears to hear. They didn't have that. "Your father's the devil, you can't see," Jesus told them. The Pharisees did have a chance to see John making the way in the wilderness, and then the kingdom coming in Christ, and Christ showed them all of his ministry miracles and all of his powerful words and teachings and authority. They saw it, but these leaders were stiff-necked. They refused to repent. They refused to be humbled. Yeah. And Jesus said this, Matthew 13:15, "For these people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Yeah, they needed repentance, right? They had all of the moral law down right, even though they were corrupt in some of it, but mostly they were corrupt in the heart. So the point of this parable, it's to prove the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. It shows us clearly that they could see right and what should be done by others, but they didn't do it themselves. Did you catch that? Like David. David could see what was right, but he had done a grave sin before God, murder and adultery. The Pharisees are in great leaven. What is it? Luke 12:1, Jesus tells us the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. Sin is their sin was hypocrisy. So that parable tells us a lot about the Pharisees. Can tell us a lot about ourselves too. We got to be real careful. Walk in sound doctrine. Make sure our heart is pure and our motives are pure. Yeah, the two have to go together. Everything changes from the inside to the outside. If you change the outside, what did Jesus tell the Pharisees? Clean the inside of the cup and the rest takes care of itself. You clean the outside of the cup and you leave the inside all vile. That is not good before holy God. He won't stand for that. Verse 33. "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went out into the far country." All right, so Jesus is switching to a new parable. It's about a vineyard. I think that's like God's creation of the world. It's about a householder, which is like the leader, the headman. That would be God. He gives it over to a husbandman. That would be like mankind, him giving us the earth to take dominion. And then later we see workers called to go and get the fruit from it. God always has that happening. What good is an apple tree with fruit if you don't go get the fruit? Or a vine, a grapevine if you don't get the grapes, right? So I think that's what we see as a representation in this parable. Verse 34, "And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it." All right, so God creates this order, right? He always has the sun and the moon and rain and seeds that die and produce fruit. And he has these cycles and these seasons. And God gets glory and always wants gain from his creation because of that. And what he invests in people, right? Gifts in the Spirit and the sun and the Word. The Bible's full of admonition about his people being fruitful, right? If God is fruitful in grace and love and mercy and truth and hope, what should we be fruitful in? Holiness, godliness, truth, right? That's what we should be all about. Go read John 15. It talks all about he's the vine, we're the branches, we must produce fruit. If not, we're pruned, cut in fire. Very, very clear. without fruit were cast out. And the joy of this, the beauty of this, the amazing thing that God did is we're made for good works. Go read Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, right after Ephesians 2:8 and 9 where it says that you're saved by faith through grace. It never says faith alone, grace alone, by the way. I love to teach that. Faith and grace and faith is never alone. It's always filled up with holiness and obedience. Ephesians 2:10 says we are made for good works. All right? Isn't that awesome? God gives us the gifting to do these things. Not to live worldly, sinful, carnal, compromised in lies and pagan traditions and false ways of man-made religion. No. To live in holiness, righteousness, and truth and goodness. Right? And the angels, I think, the workers coming to get the fruit are likened to angels. Matthew 24:31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Yeah, so God's going to send his angels. Remember, he's going to reap a great harvest. We learned in my past studies that most of the harvest is going to be the tares and the false converts of the world, and then God's few elect are also going to be harvested. So we learned that when you harvest wheat, when they harvest corn, they actually harvest the whole thing. They don't just take the fruit off. The stalk, the stem, the leaves, everything gets taken in, cut down, chopped up. The fruit gets separated. The rest of it's turned into fertilizer, burned up, whatever. So there's going to be a great harvest one day, without a doubt. What an awesome thing to look forward to. I hope you're part of the sheep of God and not the goats of the world. Verse 35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. All right. So this next event in this parable, I think this is a direct correlation about the prophets. Yeah, God sent the prophets to his holy nation, his called out one, the apple of his eye, Israel. Call them to repent, to be fruitful, not to be rebellious. What did they do? They rebelled. They killed and beat the prophets. They rebelled against God. Stiff-necked, sinful, idolatrous, whoremongering people they were. Matthew 23:7. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that thou killest the prophets, stoneth them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. So this is about Israel and the prophets. God sends the prophets, these holy men of God. You know, and I say this all the time. I tell people, I am not a prophet. But you know what? I have to do a prophet-like job. And what is that? Why do I say that? Well, I got to go and tell God's word. So I don't get new revelation like the prophets. I don't have the power like the prophets did. But I got to go and tell God's word. And oftentimes, God calls me to people that claim his name. Church places, religious events. When I witness in the street, most people in America claim a faith in Christ. I'm going to proclaim the truth and calling them to repentance. That's exactly what the prophets did. Yeah. And I also go, obviously, and call to the lost, and they can be invited in as well. So I get to do a prophet's job, which is awesome. A lot of times I get treated like a prophet. So far I haven't been killed, but physically attacked, threatened, calling the Roman guards on me, the police, while I'm peaceful and law-abiding. So, interesting about this correlation of the prophets' servants. He beat one, killed another, stoned another. Verse 36, and he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. So, I think this would be the same thing. The other workers, those prophets that God sent over the ages, over and over and over to call Israel to faith. Go read the Old Testament. Go read all the books of the prophets. This shows a repeated heart against God in Israel. It was not a one-time thing, right? Rebellion, rebellion, idolatry, idolatry, whoremongering. But you know what's amazing? How long-suffering and patient God is. And you know what? I'm glad he was long-suffering and patient with Israel. Do you know why? Because for many years, God was long-suffering and patient with me. When I was in the world and I knew of his son, but I didn't know sound doctrine. I was angry about man-made religion, but I still loved my sin. I wasn't studying the scriptures. I wasn't coming out of the world. God was long-suffering with me. He didn't kill me for about 20 years or more. 25. Yeah. 25 years I lived in rebellion. And that is something that I think about. So the next time you want God to quickly avenge people that you think should be taken care of, burnt up by fire from heaven, make sure you look and go, was there ever a time where God was merciful and patient and long-suffering with you. Yeah, absolutely. So we have to think about that. Make sure that we're balancing the judgment scale, how we'd want to do to ourselves and to others. Verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Okay, we're going to end it there in this last verse. The parable is ending with the master sending his own son. Who is this? Of course, it's Jesus Christ coming into the world, right? To seek and save the lost, to preach the good news, to show us the kingdom, to shed his blood for us. And they killed him, didn't they? He came for the nation of Israel. They rebelled against him and killed him. One day they're saying, Hosanna, putting palm branches down. The next day they're saying, crucify him and let Barabbas the criminal go. John 3:16, world famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's the heart of the gospel right there. Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yeah, the parable is ending up with God sent his messengers, finally he sends his son, and they turn on him as well. We're going to read about how this parable turns out. The entire Old Testament, New Testament, what's it all about, saints and seekers, if you're listening? It's about Christ the Creator, his coming the first time, his coming return. Yeah, that's what it's all about. God's redemption plan, God dealing with Israel, God inviting the Gentiles in. It's all about Christ all over. And this parable is proving it once again. Stay focused on the gospel. The gospel is Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and everything related to it. Faith, repentance, born again, new life, holiness and obedience, and enduring in the faith. Like I said, we're going to stop right there. We're going to pick it up next time on verse 38. I hope you're being edified by this. Let me know if you have any questions. Don'tperish@outlook.com. Love to answer them for you. We're going to keep going through Matthew, and then I don't know where we're going from Matthew. We're going to see. We shall see. Only the Lord knows, I guess. Hey, I love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. We're on the road preaching Christ crucified. And may God be praised.